Greetings, dear listeners, and welcome to my farewell address for the 22-23 ski season. Most of the value of this revelation lies in its list of essays and podcasts, a quality lost to the podcast listener who can't activate a single link, much less the 66 references herein. To help compensate for this loss, I'll provide some insights about the contents of each entry, notes I won't be sharing with my dear readers, as they can just tap on the link to see what any given piece is about. I apologize in advance for the tedium associated with reading a list. I'll do what I can to make it worth your bother to listen in. Here's how I recap the season just concluding in a revelation titled The 22-23 Season in Retrospect. It snowed again in Reno last Monday night, an unnecessary reminder that this season might never end. But while skiing in these parts continues unabated, it's time for real skiers to wrap up the current year with a recap of all the revelations and podcasts I've recently created for the collective edification of my dear readers and listeners. In the lyrics of The Grateful Dead, what a long, strange trip it's been. Half the country got no snow to speak of, while the other half experienced what it's like to get too much snow. In some instances, way too much snow. In the equipment domain, a lot of what was new this year happened outside the mainstream. Most fresh faces fell in the big mountain genre, the province more of dreamers than pragmatists. The arena with the most new product families was alpine touring, as America's infatuation with backcountry skiing continued to inspire new subsets of skiers who planned to climb uphill a little more, or all the time. What was once a niche is now broad enough to have several baby niches within its ever-expanding confines. While the ski world is somewhat cocooned in its own realm, it's not immune to outside influences. The ski trade has changed a lot in the last 50 years, but there hasn't been a single innovation introduced to the sport that can compare with the disruptive force of the internet. Now, artificial intelligence, the new darling of the tech sector, will further erode the credibility of information sources. For starters, are you certain what you're listening to now isn't the product of AI? How about the next article you read or listen to, after this one's contents have been digested by the omnivorous appetite of AI? When will the last shred of credibility go up in smoke? I explore the probability that AI will be the next great destructive juggernaut to deform the ski marketplace in ChatGPT AI has ski patter down cold. That is a revelation from this past season. Not that ski media needs much help in finding the basement. The ski world's iconic print titles, and the brilliant editors who led them, are long gone. So is one of the fundamental principles of journalism, the separation of the functions of editing and publishing. The commercial side of the internet is effing fueled by eliminating this crucial divide. Why bother writing a well-reasoned product profile, or at least the pretense of one, without a link to somewhere the subject under review can be purchased immediately? The inanity of top 10 lists is underscored by their skinny, four-sentence quote-unquote reviews and ubiquitous buy now buttons. By the way, if you think any of the top 10 lists generated by what's left of ski media have any validity whatsoever, your brain is suffering from acute malnutrition. To illustrate just how depraved and blatantly dishonest such a best-of list can be, I dissected an odious example in The Bottom of the Barrel, which appeared on realskiers.com as both a podcast and a revelation. Fraudulent top 10 lists are the perfect vehicle for influencing public opinion, which is helpful for brands that cut corners, cheapen product quality, and substitute overnight gimmickry for the long and costly slog of R&D. I'd love to tell you that things are going to get better soon, that the market will somehow self-correct when it has no incentive to do so. But the reality is quite the opposite. I hope you'll take a moment and visit one of the 26, 22, 23 revelations you may have missed, or listen to any of the 40 podcasts of Real Skiers with Jackson Hogan. As you peruse my most recent content, bear in mind that what you're reading, or listening to, is rare and endangered. If you'd like to help ski journalism worthy of the term to survive, we have a tip jar on the Real Skiers homepage. See you next season. Now I'm going to give you a list of this season's revelations, which I'm going to give you in order in which they appeared. The first revelation of the year was called When Shopping for a Deal, To Thine Own Self Be True. The point here was to understand whether you are a tourist, a zealot, or a player, three archetypes that determine buying behavior. The more you understand your own motivations, the better job you'll do of shopping for a deal. The next revelation of the year was the 2023 ski market preview, The Golden Age of Incrementalism. This is a theme I keep returning to because it is what we are currently living in, a period of time when most product changes are going to be modest because we have made all of the big changes that current technologies permit. The next piece was called How to Read Ski Data, Mining Ski Stats for Behavioral Clues. There's usually data provided with most ski reviews that tell you the side cut of the ski, sometimes its weight, and its side cut turn radius, and this piece goes behind the data to help you interpret it so you get a better understanding of what that ski is like. The next revelation was called Fear of Flying, and it was about fear of being on high lifts, which turns out to be an actual syndrome, something that people suffer from, and I got a lot of reader response on it, which I replied to in a later revelation. The next piece I did was called The Ski Price Matrix Explained, which essentially showed how the price differential in the marketplace has really shrunk rather considerably. So we really don't have a very large bandwidth around any given ski that you might be looking for. You might think that you have a $200 or $300 price range to choose from, but in fact, you don't. You often don't have much more than a $50 range to choose from. The next piece was called The End is Nigh, An Optimist Looks at America's Skiing Future, in which I try to take a cold eye look at where we are as a sport in general, in this country in particular, and it's not a pretty picture. And while I'm an optimist by nature, I don't see the skiing of future in this country through rose-colored glasses. The next piece was called On Taking What the Mountain Gives You or the Many Shades of Perfect, which is culled from the pages of Snowbird Secrets, which I co-wrote with guru Dave Powers in about 2012. But the wisdom in its pages remains timeless. Then I compiled a compendium of reader responses to the revelation I had done on fear of high lifts, which was very edifying. Then I wrote about a new goggle that gives you more information than I ever want you to know, entitled Another Brilliant Idea I Don't Like. Then I did a service piece called Are You Ready? How to Get Your Gear Ready for the Season. The next piece is called How It's Supposed to Work, which describes how boot fitting is supposed to go and gives you several practical examples from the front lines. Then the most popular piece I did all year, I think, was Seven Skis That Transcend Their Genres, which are about seven skis that ski outside of the normal boundaries of the ski category that they otherwise normally live in. So they're very versatile skis, and therefore they are very desirable skis. The next piece was called Enlightened Self-Interest Explained, which was a piteous plea for cash, because we have installed a tip jar on the homepage of realskiers.com. So those people that feel that I have been undercompensated can correct the situation by making a direct cash donation via the tip jar icon we've installed on the homepage. The next piece was called Skier Know Thy Feet. To help you be a better boot fit customer, here's what you should know about your feet before you go in to see your boot fitter. The next piece was another chapter from Snowbird Secrets called On Being Early. It's one of my favorites since On Being Early resonates on so many different levels with skiing. The next piece was called Another Reason to Get New Boots. Actually, I provide several reasons to get new boots, and I intersperse my suggestions with actual reader comments about how boot fitting has not only helped their feet to feel better, but has gigantically improved their skiing, because it's almost impossible to sell a boot without also in some way instructing the customer in the art of skiing. In the next revelation titled Stymied, I talk about how it's frustrating to get so much snow that you can't get to. And I draw a parallel, if you'll pardon me, to the Elizabethan concept of the great chain of being and having this sort of distorted world in which it snows a lot, but you can't actually go skiing, paralleled disruptions in the marketplace that have perturbed buy and sell patterns that have existed for 50 years. So we are seeing echoes in the microcosm of our little world trying to get in and out of out of the driveway, and the larger world in which the natural order is also changing. The next revelation is titled Seven Things We Think You Know, which is meant to be very descriptive. There are seven things we think you know about skiing or about your gear that maybe you don't know, and so maybe we shouldn't be so presumptive. Anyway, I outline what those seven things are. The next piece is one of the most important of the year. ChatGPT AI has ski patter down cold, in which I explain that this new AI bot can mimic brochure writing down to the last letter. It's incredibly capable. It is also utterly soulless and without one moral qualm of any kind. It is simply a fulfillment machine. And if you ask it to fulfill some evil purpose, it will do it to its best of its capability. The next piece was called Reflections of a Ski Tester on Trade Fair Eve. My concerns over where the market is going and what's going on and how it's going to be impossible to get people to test because conditions are tough in the ski shops. They're understaffed. And in some places, they have so much snow, people can't even get to work. But at any rate, I go into current conundrums in the ski market. The next one was perhaps my favorite piece of the year to write because I got to open all barrels into someone who fancies herself a writer or an editor or something or other, but she is an abomination. And it was about a boot review that pretended to be reviewing the six best boots in the marketplace. I kid you not. And it is absolutely scandalous what garbage this person wrote. At any rate, it's typical of what's available for you through places like Apple News and USA Today, who apparently have no moral scruples of any kind. The next piece was a blatant bit of self-promotion called Ski Luminaries Explain Why You Should Listen to Jackson. I didn't have to bribe, but I nonetheless had to beg to get some endorsements from ski luminaries who you will recognize when you listen to or read the revelation. Now, we're almost through with this list, so hang in there. The next piece was about Sven Kummer, and it was titled The Extraordinarily Gifted Athlete Who Created the Modern Ski Boot. And I cannot sing Sven's praises high enough, and he was just recently inducted into the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Hall of Fame, which was richly deserved, too long delayed, but nonetheless richly deserved. So anyway, I talk up Sven's game in this particular piece. Then there was something called The Things We Do for Love. It's a title I've used before, but I think perhaps this is its best execution. It was a description of a recent trip I took to Snowbird and all the trials and tribulations we went through just to get a few minutes of really great skiing. And I think it gets to the heart of what makes a skier a real skier. It's called The Things We Do for Love, and it was the third to last revelation of this year. The second to last piece was called A Fresh Perspective on How to Buy in a Maturing Ski Market. Essentially, it's a reiteration of the entire real skiers methodology of how you look at this oceanic world of skis out there and how do you start chipping away at it until you end up with just the one ski that's right for you. The essence of this method hasn't really changed in over a decade, but this is just a fresh look at it that reinforces the proper way to go about buying a ski. And finally, the last piece of the year before this one was called Groundhog Year, and it describes how we're in a way caught in a bit of a technological rut in the ski industry. We're not going to see a lot of new product coming out next year. That stuff that is new is not terribly new. While I do expect a lot of new product to pop onto the market in the following season, I don't expect that they're going to be of earth-shattering nature. I still think we're looking at incremental changes, not huge revolutionary changes. I think the revolutionary changes are taking place in how skis go to market, how we are going more and more B2C in this industry, whether you're Bodie Miller's new ski line, which is only sold directly to consumers, or we're simply talking about manufacturers going directly to consumers, which is happening pretty much across the board. The landscape of how we sell and how we operate as a trade is changing, at least in America, and I suspect some of those impacts will be felt in other countries as well. Dear listeners, you'll be happy to hear I don't plan on dragging you through the 40 different entries I added to the podcast list for Real Skiers with Jackson Hogan, but I do want to call out a few of the interviews that I did this year, particularly Larry Prosser, the great photographer back in the 80s and 90s that helped record the dawn of extreme skiing in this country, John Clendenin, incredible athlete and an amazing instructor, Mike Hattrop, who just recently was inducted, and very deservedly so, into the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Hall of Fame, and Tim Petrick, maybe not a name that the general public knows, but people in the industry do. Tim Petrick left some very big footprints on this industry, enough so that I think he's one of the few people who you might describe as in commerce, although not exclusively in commerce, who probably also belongs in the hall, along with his friends Hattrop and Clendenin. Well, that's it for this week. It's it for this season. I hope you've enjoyed this season's collection of 40 podcasts and 26 revelations. I'll be back next fall to regale you with further insight-filled installments of Real Skiers with Jackson Hogan. Thanks for listening.